Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello, and welcome to Marvelicious Toys, issue number 24. And I suppose you're wondering why I'm talking first instead of Marjorie, but that's because she is not here this week. So joining myself and Arnie is our good friend Jerry.
You've heard Jerry from his timely reviews, and now he's joining us at the main part of the show. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Real good, yeah. We're not in Wisconsin, but we're good, and we're here.
Funny thing is, Marjorie is in Wisconsin, don't you know?
And oddly enough, I would normally be in Wisconsin when I'm on a business trip, but I am coming to you guys on location from Las Vegas.
Very nice. That's a big toy run.
Yes, it was. I can say more about that later, but yes, it was.
Well, we have a big show this week. We're going to have store reports, a lot of online news, New York Comic Con news, and a lot more. So why don't we get started with
the Spectacular Store Report.
So it seemed like, you know, sitting around a few days ago, things were pretty slow going in the Marvel Universe until I walked into Target the other day, and lo and behold, Wave 15 sitting right there in the middle of the day, just for the taking. So I was pretty excited. Arnie, you had sent me a text that you found a piece or a part or one or two of them.
I'm usually pretty good at getting waves all in one bundle, but a buddy of mine texted me, and he was at Toys R Us, and they had three figures left, and the two that were missing were Ultron and X-23. And so I think those are probably the ones that are most likely, because I asked him, I said, do they have either of those? He's like, no, and if they did, I'd be keeping those for myself. But you can have Namor and Darkhawk.
See, now you guys, that's really weird, because some folks had posted on the forums that they started finding that wave at Target, so I started looking for them, and I found them all in one sitting, except Namor.
See, now I found them at Target, and there was, unless I missed some or I haven't looked at the way the case pack is going out, but there was two X-23s and two Namors there. So unless somebody else picked out other doubles in that case, I think I was the first one to those on the pegs. So maybe there's a couple different cases shipping out already, because I know Toys R Us often gets different cases that other people are getting just to be strange.
Well, I went back to that Toys R Us today, about a week later, and they were loaded up with these figures. And there were less Ultrons. There was only one Ultron left on pegs. There were about four X-23s, all of which had card damage on the left side to varying degrees of bendiness. And then I could have swam with Namor in as many as were sitting there, and quite a few Steve Rogers and a ton of Darkhawks.
Wow. All the Toys R Us around here have been dry for so long that I haven't been able to take advantage of any of their good sales going on.
Now, I mean, Justin, you were joking earlier about a long toy run. I actually, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I actually drove from Cincinnati to Las Vegas for a variety of reasons I won't bore people with. So I have hit so many Walmarts, so many Targets, and but one Toys R Us, because those aren't as easy to find. But I hit the Toys R Us in St. Louis, so Arnie, maybe I hit one of the ones that you go onto every so often. But I have not seen this wave anywhere else except for the one Target across the street from my house.
Traveled a long way just to not see him.
Well, I had other successes, but yeah, it did kind of make the road trip seem all for naught.
Well, I was so wanting this full wave, and I didn't expect that Toys R Us would have them the day of recording. So this past weekend, Marjorie and I went down to St. Louis and hit about six Targets, and I found remnants. I actually got my Ultron down there, not here at the Toys R Us, but that was the only sign of new figures I'd seen at any Target. Everything else I've been finding have been found at Toys R Us.
Hey, Arnie, when were you there? Because I was there Saturday at one of the Toys R Us's in St. Louis.
Saturday. We should have had dinner.
We
converging toy runs.
Yeah, where does a guy from Cincinnati and a guy from Chicago meet? Well, St. Louis.
Well, we've got lots of news, so let's go over these new figures real quick. Let's give a quick review because there are some really neat highlights going on here for a wave that seems kind of disparate and disconnected from one another. The first figure is number 17, Ultron. Now, this is the one that I've said in the past, and now that I have him in hand, you know what? I've got him. I'm glad he's got more paint on him now, but it's a straight repack of the Ultron we got in the comic pack a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but he's got such a better paint job. I mean, the green mouth, the green lines, it is a repaint, but it looks new to me. I compared the two next to each other, and this one is just, it's a badass painting of Ultron. I always thought the last one was kind of lacking.
Yeah, you know, I picked this up, and I actually picked up a handful of these figures. I gave some of them to Dan the Rockstar, and I actually, and I don't know if this is heresy, but I actually took the Ultron back because Dan didn't want it. I had the one from the comic pack, and I didn't know anyone else who really wanted it. I actually took it back because I didn't like the green. I think the paint job's well done, but I just like the Ultron with the red in the mouth better. For some reason, that seems more natural to me. Is green what he's supposed to be? It looks like he's about to throw up or something.
Well, if you look at the old Marvel Legends version of Ultron, who has a different head, the head on that one's a little more bat-like, and I think he's got some red going on him, you know? So I'm not quite sure what he's supposed to be color-wise.
Red is a bit more classical, I think, from what I've seen.
Well, from a figure standpoint, I have no gripes with him. I mean, it's still, you know, a great figure, and I guess I'm glad to have an update in the paint, just like we got with Dr. Doom in the last wave. But, you know, if I was slotting this wave out, I don't know that Ultron would have been on my to-do list again.
No, but it seems like every wave they have to throw in a cheap repaint to keep the cost of the wave down. And so at least it's not another Spider-Man.
Well, I guess, yeah, I mean, that gets me to my bigger point overall about this wave, which is we've slowly been getting these new sculpts, you know, starting with Cable and Cyclops. We've been getting the new big sculpt and the medium body sculpt with the extra articulation and ankle articulation and the cut thighs and all that. Maybe I'm just getting a little spoiled with the improvements that they've made on these figures. And when we get a wave that has some of the old and some of the new mixed in, I think it just takes a little bit of the shine off of the older style figures for me, especially when you get to somebody like Darkhawk, who I think has a really kick-ass head sculpt and a great upper body. But then we get down to the same old figure number 3 Silver Surfer legs that just are hard to pose. You know, there's just no two ways around it. It's hard to pose these older original style figures.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to agree with you on that, Justin. I am not, if you've ever heard me on Star Wars Action News, I've said this before, I am not a huge mega articulation kind of guy. I mean, if articulation means you can't stand the figure, then I don't want the ankle articulate. I want a figure that can stand up and hold its pose. But there's enough new and different about the Darkhawk figure that if Dan didn't want it, Dan really wanted that in X-23, so I let him have those two, I might have kept that one for myself.
I love Darkhawk. I read most of his original run. I really like this figure for the paint job, mostly. I mean, they gave it a nice metallic paint. I did notice, though, one of mine has like a feather on his wing bent from being pushed too far in the bubble. Do you guys have that on yours? Is it supposed to be bent, or do I need to keep looking for a new Darkhawk?
You might need to find a new one, yeah, because mine seemed to be pretty straight.
Yeah, so was the one I got, yeah.
So keep an eye out for that if you're finding him. But I like the new head on this. I think it's a great look for this character, and I'm excited to get him. I like how they did the wings attached to him. It's kind of similar to how they did Spider-Woman.
It's actually closer to the way they did Falcon not too long ago, with the little slots that go into the part of his arm instead of his biceps. It's going into the gauntlets on his forearms. But yeah, I have absolutely no problem with the figure itself. It's a great figure. Like I said, it's just I'm getting spoiled on these new articulated figures, and I would have loved to seen them with better articulation.
I hear you. I'm guessing from a costing standpoint, by getting the wings, they had to give us crappy legs.
You know, if you got wings, why do you need your legs? I mean, come on. If I could fly, I wouldn't run.
You still might need to walk every once in a while, though. Even flies have legs, you know? But speaking of the articulation that's missing in some of these newer characters that we haven't gotten, like Darkhawk, we have our third version of Namor in this line already. Now, granted, he's never been in this, well, what do you want to call it, a lack of an outfit?
The Speedo?
In a single card before, because this is basically a redo of the 70th anniversary San Diego Comic-Con pack from a couple years back. But super, super duper improved. We get the whole new sculpt here, you know, the triple articulated ankles and the thighs, the double hinged neck. So it's a big improvement paint-wise, sculpt-wise over the one that's probably hard to find if you didn't get that pack at Comic-Con a few years back.
Yeah, I think this is a real good-looking figure. That said, I saw a lot of them sitting on the pegs today, so I'm wondering if we're going to be looking at his bare chest for months to come.
It's possible. The original Namor with vest and long pants, he was a peg warmer for a long time.
Of course, given that most of the figures are just clothes painted on the body, I think this would be a great custom fodder piece, wouldn't it? You just have to kind of sand the scales off the crotch and maybe take off his gauntlets.
Yeah, and I think those might pop right off. I don't know if those are sculpted on or just the little... they might be sculpted on this time. The last Namor had just little rubbery gauntlets that could slip off. But I'm more worried about his little winged heels. That might be a trick to get off without ruining his feet. But you're right. He's probably the most naked figure we've ever gotten on a single card.
The one thing that may help Namor move is, Justin, you and I found out we have different Namors. We have a variant going on. Mine has a base that says Imperius Rex.
Yeah, and mine says Submariner. So here we go again with the variant stands being packed in. Admittedly, I think Imperius Rex is cooler.
But that's kind of his name. I don't know. I would almost think if there were variants, one would say Namor.
Yeah, maybe there's going to be a third.
Wow. I'm buying all these figures for the basis.
It's one way to move the slow-moving Namor figures, make them with different stands.
Wait, guys, a question on that, just because I've never quite understood. Is there a rhyme or reason to that, or is it just Hasbro deciding, it's like, oh no, Son of Hulk's not really right, let's put Scar on there. Why are they doing that?
That'd be a great question for the Q&A. I don't know. Maybe sometimes it's just last-minute changes and some get out originally, or maybe they're doing it on purpose, knowing that this is a collector-driven line.
Imperius Rex seems like it has to be on purpose. The Scar thing makes me think that maybe somebody in China was just like, we name it Son of Hulk. I don't know why I made the Chinamen talk like Hulk, but...
Well, I mean, like, the Scarlet Spider one, it came out of Spider-Man. That felt very much like an error. It's like, well, it looks like Spider-Man called Spider-Man. No, that's the Scarlet Spider. That felt like an error. But yeah, Imperius Rex is very much intentional, but it doesn't really seem like we're being given these as variants, per se, because they're random. You've got one, he's got the other. Normally, a variant, don't the variants, for the most part, seem like, hey, it's going to ship as Imperius Rex. That's the important, you know, that's the cool one. That's the Cable with Hope. And then eventually, it's just going to go straight to Namor.
Well, you know, looking at the card, it doesn't say Imperius Rex anywhere on the card, nor does it say Namor. It just keeps calling him Submariner. So, who knows? You bring up a good point. Maybe there's a form that Hasbro fills out that says line one, character, line two, character subtitle. So it says Spider-Man, then under that, it says Scarlet Spider. And for a while there, the China Factory was taking the wrong line and putting it on the stand. I think partially could be just to, you know, they know that we're collectors, and if there's a variant out there, we will hunt it down and own it.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I open all mine anyway, and I always put them onto a clear round stand and put all those packed in stands in a box anyway with all the other useless accessories. So I'm not hunting any of those. I think it's kind of funny, but I don't have much use for the stands that they pack in anyway. So
what's funny is I, like, with the Scar one, I don't really feel I need the bases. I don't know how I feel about if I really need the Scar base versus the Son of Hulk base. If I don't just run across it myself, I'm not going to freak out versus, say, short hair Ms. Marvel versus long hair Ms. Marvel. But for some reason, the Submariner Imperius Rex one, it's like I kind of want both, because Imperius Rex does feel like an intentional chase variant.
Yeah, there's something more substantial about that name change. But you're right. I'm kind of the same mind, Arnie. I don't know that I've ever gone out of my way to find a stand variant. It's just been, seems like they've been pretty easy to find. You know, if you find the first wave pretty early on and then once you start realizing, hey, all these figures are shipping again, and it's getting pretty easy to find figures that were kind of hard to find before, that's when the variant stands start showing up and they sit there for a while. So you can almost think about it a few times, like, do I really want to get that? And I end up getting it because I haven't found anything new, and that's how I end up with a variant stand.
I haven't seen Scar in months on pegs, so that could be my problem there. I've seen some others from that wave, but Scar himself is pretty elusive.
I've seen him around my area a little bit. I wouldn't call him ultra rare, but he might be one of the quicker moving ones out there still.
Well, the figure my friend Ryan was most excited for was X-23. He was just so jazzed when I texted him earlier today and told him I was able to find him one. And is this a new female body sculpt here?
Yeah, this character choice aside, I mean, I have no qualms with X-23, but the reason I was excited for this figure is because it's the debut of the new female style body. And I got to tell you, they did a great job with it.
It works very well for her because she's in a bit of a cutoff shirt. And so where the boob stomach articulation is looks very natural because it's where her shirt stops. If you use this on, say, Miss Marvel or Firestar, I don't know that it would look as great.
It's going to be hard to tell until we actually see it. But being the articulation guy, I'm going to bring it up again. They've added some great articulation here, and I think they've fixed the boob torso problem. Before, the boobs were, they felt like just orbs sitting on top of another thing. And right now, with her midriff exposed like this, you're right, it's hard to tell if that's going to look strange with a solid color going all the way down.
But yeah, she's got good arm articulation there, good leg articulation, the swivel hips.
That, yeah, my one minor complaint I might have on this is that they've given her the swivel hips, but, you know, these T-bar connectors for the legs don't give you much room to move those legs. You know, I can swivel her thigh around, but I can't necessarily get her legs to go out to get in any great poses. So as I'm taking pictures of this brand new X-23 figure, I'm kind of looking, you know, as I take the pictures, I take a long shot, then I take a close-up, you know, detailed shot of the card. And as I was going through them, I noticed that something that was like a little bit of an anomaly on the front card art. And I looked a little closer, and not to sound perverted, because I wasn't looking for it, it just kind of caught my eye. I believe I'm seeing a little bit of a nipple on the front of this card art with X-23.
You know what it looks like to me, Justin? Have you ever seen those, I don't know, Sports Illustrated or whatever, where they got the models and they're not wearing anything? It's just like it's painted on. That's
Have
what
I
the
seen
card art
body
like.
Paint art? Is that what you're asking me, Jerry? Have I seen body paint art?
it looks like an artist's rendering of a model wearing body paint. That's how tight that outfit and the detail on is on that.
Listen, I'm holding the card in my hand, and that's a nipple. That is a nipple. I bet this is something that will be changed. There will be a card variant because somebody at Hasbro doesn't realize they're shipping a nipple.
Hey, and as a graphic artist, I can see how something like this would happen. I don't think that the artist who laid this card out would do something like this on purpose. I think when you work in Photoshop, what you see on screen is always going to be slightly different from what comes off the press, and you get different densities and whatnot. Now, on his screen, it might have looked perfectly black and in that shadow and not noticeable, but you get something back from the press, and then all of a sudden, your densities are slightly off, and you got a nipple. I mean, it's just there.
I hate when that happens.
I don't know. There's always the Little Mermaid, right? The Little Mermaid cover.
with the penis castle, is that what you're getting at?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So,
yeah, I don't want to impugn anybody's integrity at the place who makes this card, because I really don't think anybody would do that on purpose. That's too obvious of a thing. Like, hey, I put a naked lady on the card. Nobody's going to notice. To me, looking at this, it looks like somebody took an actual photograph of a model and then did some Photoshop work, you know, did some body painting in Photoshop, threw some filters over it to give it a hand-painted type of look, and that's how you end up with something like this.
Speaking of nipples, did you notice Namor's is in the totally wrong place on his card art? It's almost like a cyst.
Yeah, it's a little high into the left. Jeez, now we're going to have to get out some, you know, microscopes and look at all this art.
Justin, you go right ahead and search all the nipples.
Yeah, I put you in charge of the nipple patrol here at Marvelous Toys.
I proudly accept that honor.
Sir, yes, sir.
Now you got me looking at all of them to see if they did maybe slip a nipple into each one of these. All right, Captain Rogers, you're clear. Ultron, I can't tell because you got metal all over you.
Oh, he's a robot. Come on.
Oh, he's got nipples on his forehead. That's the problem.
That would be a problem.
Hey, this is coming from the guy who's in Vegas. Doesn't everybody in Vegas have nipples on their forehead?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So, yes, I would expect that, like Arnie said, to change in the future if somebody else catches on to it. But take a look at your own when you guys get these. Look and let us know in the forums or on Facebook if you guys are seeing a nipple too, or if we're just being perverted here.
And I just found I have yet another bad figure here. Mine has a drip of paint in the middle of her face plate there, a drip of red paint. So I have two figures going back. How wonderful.
I noticed my Namor Submariner had a big splotch of paint right on his forehead. And you'll see that in the gallery.
Do you need me to take new photos?
Maybe. You can take a look at it. I mean, it's not that, like, I'm holding it and I can see a little dot, but then when I took close-up pictures, it's like, whoa, look at that thing.
Then we get the last figure of this wave, Steve Rogers, Captain America. Now, what do your guys' base say? Mine says Commander Rogers.
Yep, that's what I got, too. Are we going to eventually get a Captain America or just a Steve Rogers base?
Yeah, because right now it's kind of a weird hybrid. Well, it's Commander Rogers, not Captain Rogers, so.
Yeah.
I really like the paint app on this. He's got a nice black wash that really complements the blue. He's got the striking red stripe with the white outline down the side. For a figure I didn't expect to be excited about visually, this is one of my favorites.
Right there with you. This is an awesome figure all the way around. And this is what I'm talking about. It's the new style Marvel Universe figures. And they can do anybody with this new body and add accessories like this. This is a new belt. You know, he's got a neat little boot cover thing going on there and a great paint app. This feels like what a figure should feel like. This is pretty close to shrinking down a 6-inch Marvel Legends into a 3¾-inch figure.
Guys, I mean, I really have nothing to add to that. I absolutely love this figure. I didn't even have it on my list of one that I needed, but when I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to have that. The paint app looks great on the body. I love the colors. I like all the accessories. I mean, it's a winner in my book.
And I'm so glad that if they felt the need to put a Captain America in the Marvel Universe line, that they did something so different from what they're doing over in the Captain America line, because you guys were talking about how your Toys R Us's are empty. Until this wave showed up, all mine had were like 20 Marvel Universe Iron Men. And I blame the Iron Man line for this. The fact that they were putting so many Iron Man in the Marvel Universe line and then had Iron Man have his own line, it led to some major peg warming. And so I could see the exact same thing happening if they decide to give us yet another classic Captain America or Ultimates Captain America. But by giving us this, I think this is different enough that he'll move.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with the assertion that they need to keep known characters in the lineup in MU, even with all these other ones having dedicated lines. I get that to a degree, but awesome. Thank you for making it Captain Rogers, you know, Commander Rogers, I guess. I just demoted him for a moment. But yeah, I guess what more can you say? This is the same buck that we've got with Cyclops before, you know, so same articulation. You get that swivel hip. You get the ankles that are... We should come up with a name for this. I'm going to call them 360 ankles or 180 ankles because they go side to side, front to back, and all that. But yeah, I don't know what more to say. This is just a great figure. Even the hand sculpt, it can hold both weapons perfectly. A lot of times you get these figures where you try to put the gun in their hand and the fist won't let them hold it all the way. Well, he's got extended fingers that go right into the triggers, and it just works out perfectly. I'm very impressed with this figure.
Well, while I was at Toys R Us before finding these new figures, I kept going back hoping to find my X-23 and Ultron. I found something I did not know was coming, and at first I wasn't even sure if it was part of the Marvel Universe line, but it quite clearly is. You know, I saw it, and you know how if you're at Toys R Us, they have those resin figures that sit there that have the Avengers logos, and you've got your Diamond Mini-Mates and all these things in the aisle, so you're never sure quite what you're looking at when you see something unexpected. But no, there are Marvel Universe Toys R Us exclusive figures that come on light-up bases.
Mm-hmm. Odd we've never heard anything about these.
I'm guessing somebody was a little embarrassed because My jaw hit the floor when I saw that they were $20 a figure. Now, they have light-up bases, like the Iron Man figures at Target did, but those were less than 20 a figure, weren't they?
Yeah, those were $12.99, $12.98. So let's do a little quick math here. Figure is $7.50 to $8.
$8.50 at Toys R Us, though.
Okay, so we'll give them that. Plus tax. $11 for a stand? Is that what I'm getting at here?
It's about $5 an inch on figures, yeah.
Wow. Holy cannoli. And they're all repaints, right?
Well, I'm not positive about that. I looked at them, and here's the reason I bought the four they had. Now, in addition to being $20 a figure, that might go down a little easier if there was just one of them. But there are four in this first wave, and the back of the box says four more coming.
Oh, with silhouettes, so you get to guess who they are. Actually, they're not that well silhouetted that you can't make educated guesses here. I'm guessing the guy with the bow and arrow. Yeah, that might be Hawkeye. I'm not sure.
It looks like wave one is Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Cap. Wave two, Hawkeye is quite obvious. There's another Captain America back there, judging by the shield. There was one who I guess Daredevil, but somebody else on our Facebook page is saying could be Black Panther, and that would make more sense than Daredevil.
Yeah, it's got little horns on it.
And then there's a last one that I'm thinking Black Widow. It looks like a female body.
Yeah, and I'm seeing wrist gauntlets. That does look like another Black Widow. Maybe with long hair this time.
But the Iron Man figure, it's just the modular armor Iron Man that we had before on a base.
Repainted, from what I can tell.
Yeah, it's got a bit more of a mustardy yellow. I mean, it's just a different paint color, but there's nothing different about, you know, he's not repainted so that the armor was different.
Right, I can see that.
I was comparing the two, the $20 and the $8 figure, right next to each other in the store, and I'm like, these are not $12 worth of difference. And he even comes with the wonderful translucent swoosh, the little bugle.
Did the original release of that one come with the plastic swoosh, or did they forego it on that one?
Yeah, the last Iron Man modular armor came with the blue swoosh, too.
Okay.
Arnie, that's not a swoosh. The back of the card says, awesome energy blast.
Okay, it came with an awesome energy blast, too.
Awesome energy vortex blast.
The one I really liked when I saw it was the Hulk. I thought it was a new head sculpt on him, honestly. I was really impressed with this Hulk. If I was going to pay $20 for a figure, it would probably be this Hulk.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think what we're looking at here, Arnie, is it's not the same head sculpt from the Gray Hulk and the original Green Hulk, but I think what we have here is a repaint of the Gamma Green comic pack Hulk, just painted way better this time around.
Yeah, I mean, guys, this was the one I picked up. I saw these four at Toys R Us last Thursday or whatever, and I was tempted on the Thor because I really like the paint scheme on him a little bit better than the individual carded one. But I had the individual card one, and at $20, I wasn't going to buy two of them. But that Hulk to me was a go get 'em. I was really disappointed in the Series 1 Hulk. I mean, I bought that when it first came out in 2009, and to me, this was a must have. I thought it was a new head at the time because I didn't have that comic pack. But now that you guys are saying that makes sense. But you know, kudos. I thought that was a way to get somebody to buy a $20 repaint.
Yeah, I haven't seen these yet, but that's the one that I think will get me to shell out the $20.
Yeah, it is the same figure. Looking at it, it is the exact same head, but they painted the mouth better. The comic pack one had those Lou Ferrigno eyebrows, like off the TV series, and they give him the big bushy brows. This one has no eyebrows. He went to see the waxer. And it just all around is a better figure. And honestly, Gamma Green Hulk had been my favorite Hulk, and now he's been surpassed by really expensive Hulk.
By Gamma $20 Hulk.
Hulk costs lots.
Now, are they making a new base Hulk body?
Yes, next year, early waves, we'll be seeing a new Hulk.
So we might end up seeing a Hulk that'll make us even forget about this one and cry for the extra $13 we spent on.
Okay, oh, yeah. This Hulk will be usurped, but we'll have forgotten that that's coming by the time I purchase this.
But so. Hopefully my wallet will have stopped weeping, too.
There you go.
Now, you mentioned the Thor, Jerry. I looked at him and, you know, I've got Thors at work and this one honestly looked like a much better Thor than what I'd seen before. Maybe it's just a more detailed paint app, but this one reminds me in quality of that Comic-Con Thor that we got.
Yeah, I mean, I compared and I looked at them side by side like you did in the store. And I thought the color on the individual card one's a little washed out. And this one, with this base, all the colors are so bold. And perhaps because of the price, they did a better paint job in general. I might still go the Thor route. I don't know yet. I might still pick that one up. But it to me, the colors contrast better. The silver's more silver. The red cape is just so much more bold. And it just I think it just would look a lot nicer in a display than the one on the individual card.
See, yeah, that one... I'm going to have to wait till I see it in person, but I feel like we have that exact Thor twice already. We've had him single carded and in a comic pack. So unless there's something super duper different about it, I don't know that I can justify a $20 Thor repaint. Going over these so far, we haven't identified any new parts. It seems like they've been repainted from all existing figures so far. So I would be surprised if there's anything new on this one.
Now, is this the Thor from the Thor and Iron Man or the Thor from the Thor and Enchantress? Or is the answer to that yes?
It's not the Thor from Thor and Enchantress. That one was more of a classic comic book style.
Right.
So I think it was the Thor and Iron Man comic pack.
And then our fourth Avenger for $20, bringing my total order to nearly $100 after sales tax for four figures. Captain America. Like, we didn't get enough Captain America this summer. Now I gotta spend $20 on Captain America.
Are they calling him Captain America or Ultimate Captain America? That's
bizarre. Captain America. This is all it says.
That's like the Bucky Cap outfit.
It is. I noticed that too. But Bucky was Captain America, so they're just calling him Captain America. I wonder if the other $20 Captain America will be Steve Rogers' Captain America.
Yeah, the silhouette back there looks like the Steve Rogers one we've gotten quite a few times. But this one is the one that originally came with that giant scroll that we've been talking about in that giant pack. And I believe he was kind of metallic-y painted back then. But this figure, to me, for my dollar... has been replaced by the one that came out in the Cap line just a few months ago. And also in the comic pack in the Cap line. There was a repaint of this exact same outfit.
The only thing I can give this is its accessories. Beyond the extravagantly light-up base, it has a gun, a knife, and a shield. So that seems like a little bit more accessories than we normally get on a 3¾-inch figure.
Slightly, yeah. Because, I mean, that one comes with a knife, so maybe they're throwing the gun at you for the extra 20.
I'm really thinking these are going to end up on clearance. I mean, for $8 less, the Iron Man repacks ended up on clearance. And I know Toys R Us is loath to clearance anything, and it'll probably be a year from now. I mean, remember those 3-pack Toys R Us exclusives they had, and those would sit around for like a year and finally got marked down? I see that happening with these.
Oh, yeah. And at some Toys R Us around me, those are still not marked down. I can go pick you up the set with the white or Iceman pack. They've been sitting there forever. I don't know. Are these aimed at gift buyers? Are these aimed at your more casual collector who might not have been buying the Marvel Universe line yet? And this might be a way to jump in. I don't know.
I'm thinking that, I mean, it's probably for the Avengers folk who are excited for the movie. These are like a preview. I mean, it says Avengers. The base says Avengers Assemble. It's got the big A, which has been released. But I really think with the inclusion of Black Panther on the back, this is also the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes cartoon tie-in at the same point. I mean, I think we got a little bit of both going on there.
Well, and two, you've got Thor just coming out on Blu-ray. Captain America's coming out on Blu-ray soon. I think there's just going to be, I mean, from here on out, it's going to be nothing but hype for Avengers. And I think those DVD Blu-ray releases are just going to kick it off. So
I think Arnie might be onto something here. It's the overall Avengers umbrella that, you know, is going to deluge us over the next year until the movie comes out. But these do look more like Earth's Mightiest Heroes characters.
They all say comic series on them, what would be kind of nifty, in my opinion, is if Wave 1 was comic series, and if Wave 2 was the exact same four figures, but movie series, and we would all three of us on this call, pay $20 if they take the Avengers figures and release them early, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And wasn't there a movie, Black Widow, that we didn't get from the Iron Man 2 line? This would be a great way to insert it.
Yeah.
Especially if they already molded it, yeah.
But seeing that we're getting, this is Bucky Cap, and we're getting Black Panther back there probably. So they're not doing that, but it would have made this $100 go down a lot easier if they were.
Now, I guess my question is, do you think we're going to see the other four? Because I don't see these first four jumping off the shelf. Do you think the second wave's going to make it?
I'll tell you, I got these a full week ago, and I went back today, and I think these ship like either one per case or two per case, because there were exactly two of each on the shelf. Nobody but me has bought them in my town in a full week. Brand new figures. And I'm in a town that snatches new figures. Everybody but me. Everybody smarter than me in this town, apparently. Because everybody but me looked and went, no, no, no.
Well, and I won't blame you on the Hulk. The Hulk, I think, is a good buy. But I'll tell you, the one thing that kind of drives me nuts about him is if you got all eight of these and formed this Avengers shield, what the heck are you going to do with it from a display perspective? Four of the characters are always going to be facing away from you. The thing's going to be huge. I get what they're doing, but what am I supposed to do with it?
I was thinking the same thing. That's a real space investment. You know,
yeah.
If you're going to set that up, you're going to need a couple feet of space to let this circle eat up a good, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 square foot of space.
Here's what you do.
You get a turntable.
Yeah, you get your father's old turntable out and put it to a use. You set it at 33 RPM and go. If you do it at 72, you'll see Thor fly.
No, yeah, I think if this is intended for us collectors to snatch these up and make sure these sell well, then I think it's a misfire coming out of Marvel on this one. But if this is, you know, just kind of get the casual fan, the gift givers, you know, it might move. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. We'll see if these things move around that time.
If you look at the casual gift giver, if you're thinking like parents or like buying kids things, these are sitting right below the comic packs that give you two figures for less money.
Right, but this looks packaged more gifty. You know what I'm saying? If you knew somebody who was a collector and you looked at that, you're like, oh, that'd be cool for him, rather than just buying a carded figure or a two-pack of figures. This looks more presentable as a gift, I think. Did I just win?
Well, you know, I think to Arnie's, well, I think to your guys' point, Toys R Us might be better off if they put this in checkout or put it in a different place of the store and get that impulse buy. Because, you know, $20, if your kid gets invited to another kid's birthday party, that's about what you spend, I suppose. That might not be a bad pickup. But like Arnie, to your point, don't put them right next to the regular figures, especially when three of them are identical.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have to search hard to find the comparison figure for that Iron Man.
Yeah, or Thor. That Thor's not too terribly hard to find either.
But to your question, Jerry, of if we'll ever see Wave 2, I think we will. I think by the time you've reached this point with it, they're too far gone. And they're past the point of no return on these. We're going to be seeing Wave 2 sitting on top of Wave 1 gathering some dust.
Well, and really the reason I mentioned that is I bet when these four do hit, they'll be low quantities. So if you want them, if you think you might want them, whenever they hit, and I guess we don't really know when they're going to hit. It could be next spring. It could be next week. But if you think you might want them, get them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even though I feel like these have TJ Maxx written all over them at some point.
I bought them. I went in for them. I think that at the very least, the only thing I can give this, and it's not much, is that they are very nicely painted. Compared to how I'm looking at these other figures, and it's a little sloppy, at least there was some tight quality control. But I'm not convinced the price is set in stone. I mean, if we remember the Marvel Legends 2-packs that Toys R Us did around Christmas, those things jumped around in price more than the stock market, right? I mean, those things were like the Dow.
Oh, yeah. Major fluctuations today in the Marvel Legends 2-packs.
Unfortunately, unlike the Dow, those kept going up. But I could see these being adjusted. I could see somebody going, we're charging what?
Yeah. I mean, at $14.99, I would have to think twice about passing on them, to be honest with you. You know, I would look at that and I'm like, eh, well, that's $60 for four of them. That's not horrible.
Here's the thing is I was going to buy two Hulks. I really expected these to be about 12 to 14 a piece. And I had all four in my little basket and I grabbed the second Hulk and I went up to scan him because I'm like, you know, I'm going to put my price at $13 because I like this Hulk so much. I want him on my desk at work, $13, and I'm getting a second. Oh, he's 20. Forget it.
Yeah.
Toys R Us corporate's going to say, now, wait a minute. We've sold a couple Hulks to Artie and Jerry. Let's just hold this price for a little bit.
People might come over. We've moved two. You
moved maybe five. Didn't you buy all four of them, Arnie?
I did buy all four, yes.
Yes. Hey, we've moved five units. Don't touch that price yet. We were just getting ready to set them at $14.99. Just wait. Just wait.
And here I considered it taking one for the team.
When I saw them, I was completely surprised, and I sent you the note saying, hey, have you seen these before? Completely unannounced, right? I mean, we didn't see these at San Diego or anywhere.
No, right? not at all.
No, these are out of the bright blue sky.
Let's face it, these were last minute.
Well, there had to be some R&D and development on the stand. You know, that had to take some time. Maybe a week.
Sure.
As I said before, I haven't had much luck at Toys R Us lately, so I've been spending more time at Targets, which seemed to be pretty good to me lately, and I found the two new comic packs that I heard were getting ready to ship and thought that some people may have found them, but I wasn't really expecting to find them yet, and there they were, just swinging from the pegs, both of the two new ones, and I'm talking about the Power Man and Iron Fist pack and the Spider-Man and Captain Funky Britain packs that are now brand new and hitting out there. So, Jerry, you said you found both of them, or did you just see one of them so far?
No, I found them both at approximately 1 hour after you put on Facebook that you found them. It's funny, I was out, you know, by this time I was in Las Vegas and I was reading it on my phone, and boom, there was a Target. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to check this out. And it's, Justin, it's like you knew I was going to find them or something. It's like you're posting that just for me. I walked in, they had three or four sets of each. And they apparently also ship with a Deadpool and Taskmaster and the Wolverine and Silver Samurai because they had two or three of those as well.
That would make sense because I went to so many Targets looking for those packs, and all of a sudden, I'm like, Deadpool and Taskmaster? I remember looking for them, what, 6 months ago?
Now, I will say this. Even if you do see the Deadpool and Taskmaster set that you haven't seen before at your stores, that doesn't mean you necessarily missed this wave because those have been shipping out pretty heavily over the last month or so without these new ones in the case. So don't feel like your store skipped over you if you don't see the new ones. But what do we got here? Let's start with the Captain Britain and Spider-Man pack. We get yet another Spider-Man.
Justin, educate me, though. I actually picked up this pack because, as we'll get to in a second, Captain Britain is just too amazingly weird. But the Spider-Man, to me, seemed like a different, you know, different legs or maybe something borrowed from the Spider-Man line. But I thought the paint job on it was really good. Is this just a straight repack?
No, actually, I was about to say, I'm pretty impressed with, you know, it is yet another Spider-Man, but this may be one of their better efforts for just standard blue and red Spidey so far. It's, first of all, we do get the new articulation in the hip, which I think we first saw on the Scarlet Spider not too long ago. So it's new in that way. And then it's not the sculpted on webbing. It's the painted on webbing, much like the House of M Spidey that came out before. And that, up until then, that was my previous favorite Spidey. And I think this one, being in the more classic costume and more classic colors, may have just replaced the House of M Spidey as my front and center Spidey on the shelf.
See, I have to agree with that. I think this red is perfect. I think the blue on it is perfect. The one thing I did have to go through a couple packs, though, because with that hip articulation on one of the legs, it looked like it was starting to pop off. So I had to find the one where it looked like it was intact pretty well. But beyond that, my only disappointment in this figure is that I always think a Spider-Man figure, one hand should be making the, you know, with the two fingers and the shooting the web sculpt.
Yeah.
You know, that's that's just like, that's a given on a Spider-Man figure, and this one doesn't. One's a fist, and one's just kind of like he's trying to shake hands. But that aside, I think this is a really well-done Spider-Man, and worth picking it up if you already have, you know, what, 8, 9 other Spider-Mans in your collection?
Oh, yeah. I mean, by this point, if you collect the line, you've got at least 9 Spider-Man that are unique in some way or another. But he also comes with that wad of webbing accessory that we've gotten 100 times before. That's always just kind of awkward to try to get on him.
And it just makes no sense. I mean, if you look at the picture at the back of the card, it's like the webbing's backfired as attacking him.
it makes more sense if you just put it on the ground in front of him, like, oh, Spidey, what'd you do there, buddy? But yeah, that accessory's always been a little perplexing to me. But he's packed in with, this has got to be just straight out of the 70s era Captain Britain, because this guy is 10 kinds of funky.
Well, you notice the comic that comes with clearly says copyright 1977.
All right. So what do we have here is we have 1977 Captain Britain. And from a sculpt standpoint, it's just our standard big body sculpt that we've seen before. It's not the newer style. And it's, you know, molded and all red with some paint to it. And I think this is a new head sculpt. I can't think of any other figure that this might have been used on before. Doesn't look familiar with the hair puffing out at the top. And he has a funky, cool little silver necklace that hangs down. And if you popped his head off, you could take that off. I'm not sure why. But what is his weapon here, Jerry? It's almost like a sepulcher with a...
Yeah, I was going to say, he's like a royal... It's his royal scepter. If you look at the picture, if you can kind of see it behind the figure itself on the comic book that's included with it, it doesn't look like it has that axe handle on it. So I don't know why that's added, but it's his royal scepter and it's his chop it down tree axe. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read the comic because these are team up packs. And on the cover, he's fighting Spidey there. So I'm going to have to find out what's going on there. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool looking figure, but I'm always in for something different and fun and funky. So that's what kind of caught my eye on this one was he's got the Union Jack flag as a headband and also around his wrists. I mean, they're on there really nice. I mean, it's nice detailed paint app there.
That does look like great detail from the photos I'm seeing.
Yeah, you know, I have to say on the gold line on his chest, I was comparing packs to see which one had the best paint job, and I was going to get the best one, and they all were done very well. Like, there weren't any mess-ups with going outside the lines, for lack of better terms. They were all painted very nicely on the chest.
They stayed within the lines and lions.
Did you like that? Oh, I didn't even mean to do that. It's so hard to stay within the lions, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the one new pack. And then the second new pack, we get a new version of a character that we've seen before, which is Iron Fist. And this is, even if you have both of the old Iron Fist, this one is a completely different one. We're going to have, I believe it's a different head sculpt. And actually it is, because the other one had a little bit of hair coming out of the back of his head, and this one doesn't. And on top of that, we get his popped collar, which is pretty sweet. And aside from that, it's the same body, just painted differently. So yeah, even if you have the previous versions of Iron Fist, this one is new enough and different enough to warrant wanting to get. And actually, I think he's a little cooler than the slightly more modern version.
Yeah, no, I couldn't pass this up. I had one of the Toy Biz. I think it was part of like the Marvel's Gold line that Toy Biz did through some other alternate channel type things. And there's just something about Iron Fist that I think is just so goofy and weird that you got to love it. And you got to love it in action figure form.
Agreed. I took some pictures with this guy next to my 6-inch red version of the Toy Biz Iron Fist Marvel Legends figure. It's kind of fun when you get a neat little 3 3/4-inch version of an iconic figure that's been around for a while. It's always fun to pose them together.
I will call him Mini Fist.
I gotta say, I really like the Luke Cage there, but with the face, he kind of reminds me of Calibos from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, well, is that the goat guy? Goat devil guy?
Yeah.
Well, that is the classic who farted look. Like, Iron Fist, what'd you eat? I'm trapped in this
sweet
bubble
Christmas.
With I'm trapped in this bubble, and you got to rip one. No.
Yeah, but I mean, it's awesome to be getting Power Man, even if this is mostly reused parts and whatnot from other bigger figures. It's awesome.
It is. I never thought we'd get Tierra Power Man. Well, it takes a tough guy to wear a Tierra.
Well, and pull it off. I mean, come on.
I didn't say you pulled it off.
It takes a tough guy to wear a shirt that the only place where it connects is down by his belly button with a little few strings. It's well, that open of a shirt.
But that's a theme here with these two guys. They both have open shirts all the way down to their belly buttons. That's interesting.
Holy cow. You're right.
Heroes for hire, but for what?
Power Man and Iron Fist team up for their wardrobes. Let me reference the back of the card. If you have this in hand or you're looking at it on MarvelousToys.com, they're both standing next to each other, holding their fists in the air. And I don't know if you guys watched a lot of pro wrestling in the 80s, but these guys look like they were a tag team in the old WWF. The way they're standing there, like they're doing a promo. Do you know what I'm talking about, Justin? Do you see this?
Oh, yeah. I can totally see that.
It's the classic combination. You got the one guy who's the big, strong brawler with the high flyer who wears a mask. I mean, this is totally a tag team from WrestleMania 1. And we'll see you at the Madison Square Gardens, brother.
We're going to pull off our signature move, the Power Fist.
Or the Iron Man. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
And I think we just discovered how these two characters came about. We need new people. These kids are loving Iron Man. We need a new character.
Iron Fist.
Beautiful. Print it. All right. So, yeah, those are hitting right now. And, you know, the only place I've seen so far is Target. And I haven't heard of them hitting any place else yet. But as comic packs go, they usually hit one store first. And then weeks later, they're everywhere.
You know, I also have to say the other Target excitement I had this week, I did find a Thor Destroyer at a Target in Colorado. And that was it. That with your tip, Justin, and I was pretty excited about finding the Destroyer. I know a lot of people have by now, but that's the first time I've seen it, and they also had the Warriors 3. But everything else across country has been a big just zilcho. I mean, I've stopped hitting the Walmarts because they have been just totally dry. And so, in fact, a lot of them that I've visited on my trip across country here to Las Vegas didn't even have the Marvel Universe line. They just had the Iron Man, Thor, and Captain.
Yeah, it's been – I've kind of knocked – Walmart off of my rotation here lately, and it's, you know, like you said, because it's just they're not getting anything new. A lot of them a few months ago they did their reset, and some of them brought back the MU line and all that, but it's just been kind of sitting stale since they got in their Sentinels and their initial shipment of those team packs, which I haven't seen new shipments of either. So
I'm in the same boat. I have given up on Walmart's. I hit Targets. I did see the new Thor wave. I picked up another Destroyer, even though the movie only had one. I felt I needed to team build him. But I did pass on getting any more Warriors 3, but I did find all of those, and it was good to see them.
No, Arnie, yeah. you forget at the beginning of the movie when they tried to steal that ice block thing. There was multiple Destroyers that attacked the ice giant, Frost Giants.
No, just one came out.
Really? Okay.
I rewatched the movie over the weekend.
I'm glad you answered that, because I've done that a couple times, sitting at Target there going, do I need another Destroyer? How many were in the movie? I think there was one earlier on, and then the one that went to Earth.
There was one early, and one went to Earth. Was it the same Destroyer? I don't know.
I'm going to say yes, and not spend the $8 on another one.
You know, you guys were talking about reading the comics that came with those comic packs. I actually loaded up on some comics just as an impulse purchase at a Dollar Tree. They have comics 2 for $1. And you can't really tell what the second one is, but they're shrink-wrapped together. You see the front ones, and I went through and picked up a bunch of 80s and 90s comics. I don't know where they're getting these, but they are, like, great condition. And they also come with trading cards. I have so many Jaws 3D trading cards, I don't know what to do with.
You mean the comics had those already inserted? That wasn't part of the...
No, it was part of the Dollar Tree package. Because I have so many baby Secret of the Lost Legend and Jaws 3D, and they're actually 3D cards, where if I had my Jaws 3D glasses, I could see the art in 3D on these cards. And it's two comics and a card for a dollar. I did get one Face Man card, and no, I'm not parting with it. But if you're looking just to read up on some of these old things, I guess check out a Dollar Tree. And while I was there, they also had Marvel Superhero Taffy for a dollar, and I picked it up. I don't recommend this. I felt so ill.
Have you not learned your lesson on eating licensed candy yet?
I was hoping it would be like Laffy Taffy. It's not. It's bad. And
was it also from the 80s and 90s, like the comics?
I don't know. Let me check. I still have one pack left that I will never eat. It's going in the garbage. It doesn't have an expiration date, so 2009 is when it was made. That could explain why it was spongy.
Oh, that's only 2 years old. That's relatively
That's fine.
Candy years.
Despite being awful, I was trapped in a car with nothing else, and so I ate. And man, I missed 2 days of work, and I blamed the taffy.
Did your face look like that green Ultron after you got done eating it?
Kind of, yes. So if you're at a Dollar Tree, do not eat the taffy.
And I think that's a good rule across the board. I mean, I'm not just talking Superhero Squad taffy. Just don't eat the taffy at Dollar Tree, people.
Now, while I was at Toys R Us buying all those $20 figures, they also seem to have restocked on Superhero Squad. And we knew that there was going to be one retailer still getting Superhero Squad, and we guessed it would be Toys R Us, as they're the only ones to not put them on clearance. But I think this has to be confirmed, because the extraordinarily hard-to-find Taskmaster and Deadpool comic pack, they had three of on the pegs.
Wow. Yeah, you would send me a text seeing if I needed it, and funnily enough, that's the pack that initially broke my will not to buy those things. When I saw that last year, I was like, oh, fine. It's Deadpool. I'm going to get it. But I haven't seen it since then. You know, that was at a Target, it seems like, a year and a half ago, and have never seen it again.
They also had a couple that I'd passed on previously that I picked up now, because knowing that they're going away, it's kind of like, well, now or never. And so I got the Rhino with armored Spider-Man, and also the tongueless Venom with Spider-Man. But they'd restocked on a whole bunch of those comic packs. Some of them I knew I had, like the Human Torch Silver Surfer 2-pack and some of the others. But yeah, if you're looking for some of these, even some of the harder to find superhero squads, check out Toys R Us.
So has Taskmaster done anything other than being with Deadpool? Because that's kind of odd that there's a Hasbro 2-pack of Taskmaster and Deadpool, and this is the Superhero Squad. Has Taskmaster done nothing else? I mean, I've never heard of him, so to me, you wouldn't surprise me if you said yes.
I think initially he came out as, you know, a nemesis to Deadpool, but he's spawned off into his own stories, too. There's a more modern-day-looking Taskmaster that I hope we get a figure of, because it's more of like a street vigilante looking guy with a hoodie and a mask, and he's pretty cool looking. But yeah, I think initially his origin comes from a Deadpool story.
I think he came first.
Really?
Deadpool was created in 91, and Taskmaster, he was showing up in the 80s.
Wow. I guess for me, I'm a Deadpool guy, so his point of origin in my world was being introduced to him in a Deadpool comic. But I guess it makes sense that he could have been around earlier than Deadpool.
Yeah, whoever wrote Deadpool is the one who brought Taskmaster to the fore. But yeah, he's been around a while.
He's kind of Marvel's answer to Skeletor.
Again, Taskmaster came first.
So yeah, maybe that Superhero Squad pack was the feeler to see how popular Deadpool and Taskmaster would be. And that's why we got the comic back eventually.
And now I want to give a shout out as we end our store report to our Canadian listener, Brad. Brad is aces in my book, because he went above and beyond and hooked both Justin and I up with the Spider-Man 3¾-inch Shocker figure that is not in the States yet.
Hey, non-existent. That figure is amazing. That could so be a Marvel Universe figure.
Well, I will say this. As we've said many, many times, the Spider-Man line has some bright moments in it. And for the Spider-Man line, this figure is awesome. But I will not give him full Marvel Universe clearance, I guess. Because, I mean, he's missing some key articulation. But that
that doesn't bother me. I think it's just a good sculpt and doesn't make it all goofy, kind of like how we got a Dr. Octopus. I mean, they've not made a good Dr. Octopus in that line at all that looks like Dr. Octopus. But that Shocker is, you know, straight out of the 90s Fox cartoon, and that's okay in my book.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfect. I love the detail that they, even around the eyes, you can see the skin. It's not just Shocker mask all the way to the eyes.
I have yet to get my hands on the one that Brad hooked us up with, but I was able to find one at my local comic book shop that was loose. So somebody had it and got rid of it for some reason. And I plunked down $10 for it just to get it in my hands and check it out. And the one I have, it has a little bit of a wonky paint app. If you look at the pictures that I've taken, his right eye really got away from him. He's got a really big blue splotch in his eye there.
You got a cross-eyed Shocker.
No, but yeah, this figure is nearly perfect. It does leave a little room for improvement and maybe a little room for customization because, you know, coming from the Spider-Man line, it is more kid-targeted, so it comes with some removable shock gauntlets, I guess, that are just as ridiculous as some of the accessories that have come in the Captain America line or the Iron Man line.
Thor with his battle backpack.
Exactly. I mean, these things are big, huge, blocky, can't even stand up with them on, snap on his wrist and shoot out. Is that supposed to be electricity or is it supposed to be water? I'm not sure exactly.
Shockwaves. He shoots vibrations. That's why he wears a quilted suit.
Right. But what he's shooting out does not look like shockwaves.
No, it looks very liquidy and kind of spoogey.
Yeah, I would think he'd have some serious problems if he was shooting out water.
This is just such an interesting story of a figure, though. We've never seen this figure at any con, in any display booth. It's never shown up in a slideshow. It just kind of exists, but only in Canada right now. And it's been this way for months. You know, I've heard of figures coming out early somewhere else, you know, a month early or so. But this has been in Canada since almost the beginning of summer, and here we are coming up on October and still no word on this actually being an actual figure.
I've been watching it on eBay because I really wanted it, and before Brad said he could hook us up, I'd been seeing this. It started when I started my eBay save searches. The normal ending price was over $50. He's buy it nows are down around 20, so he is shipping in greater quantities because demand is lessening. Prices are coming down on him. He's at a point where I would have paid for him again had Brad not hooked us up, because about 25 shipped was my price point. So I think maybe we'll be seeing him pretty soon. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely Canadian, as he has two launching missiles. He also has two missiles à trier, also two laser missiles and two lancer missiles. It is a quad language card.
Yeah, one thing you can always count on Canadian packaging is English and French have to be equally prominent on everything up there. So, yeah, that's interesting.
I guarantee I just offended three other languages by totally mispronouncing them. Well, that's what we found in stores. But online, we have our
Sales to Astonish.
Well, I broke down and went and placed an order at Hasbro Toy Shop, because they had the Guardians of the Galaxy pack, and I'm not convinced I'm ever going to see this at retail.
Yeah, you've got me thinking the same thing. I went to order it the other day, and it was out of stock.
Oh, you know.
It's one of those that's been in and out of stock a few times, so I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on that after we get done recording, because I'm a little scared that those might not all make it out to retail, because those are supposed to be everywhere, and so far they've only shipped to Walmarts.
Yeah, I haven't seen the team packs anywhere except Walmarts, and even the Fantastic Four, I've not seen that often. Mostly, I'm still seeing the very first cases, which are just the Avengers and the X-Force team. So the fact that this is Revision 3 coming down the pike with Guardians of the Galaxy, I decided I didn't want to wait. Rocket Raccoon, Marjorie's going nuts for him. I had to get him. And it's a cool pack. It comes with Drax the Destroyer, who just looks like a bad mofo. He reminds me a lot in the body of, I don't know which body this is, because I keep thinking of the Wolverine Deadpool, because he's, you know, topless with pants, but he's way too muscular to be that figure.
No, I think he's actually just a repaint of Absorbing Man.
Ah, is that who he is?
Yeah, even the head looks right, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that little bit of a pointy egg head that Absorbing Man had. Mm-hmm. And we got another Absorbing Man coming out in the next wave, so that might be easier to compare then, but that's, I believe, where that comes from. Because it's got the bulky blue jeans on, the same one that the Luke Cage figure that came out had with the tank top.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right. And down to the kind of bell bottoms at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then, of course, another obvious repaint of Rocket Raccoon, right? I mean, how many times are we going to get this sculpt?
I'm telling you.
Well, it's going to get somehow repainted into Squirrel Pool, right? Deadpool Squirrel. It's a little bit of a stretch, but I think with the right paint job, you can pull it off.
This figure, words cannot do justice. Take a look at the photo. It's just great. It is perfectly scaled, and they gave it a lot of detail. The hair, and then Star-Lord, I think they did a great job with his paint app. He's got a nice metallic gold emblem on his chest and two guns. And then, you know, like they're kind of trying to do, they squeak in a fourth quote-unquote figure with Groot.
Yeah, we got Groot the Sapling. We were, you know, when we first started hearing rumors about this pack, we were thinking, oh, maybe it's going to be a comic pack with, you know, a little tiny, you know, Rocket Raccoon, and we'll get a nice big tree of Groot. But nope. We got a bonsai Groot.
It's funny, as he looks like a skullhead monkey if you look at him really close. He's kind of freaky.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's got kind of a monkey skull face going on.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And it looks like his arms might actually have some articulation in them.
I don't think so. I think they're molded to the dirt.
Really?
No, there is no articulation to him.
Oh.
He's molded to the dirt, but he's freaky.
He really is. Like a, almost like one of the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
With those dreadlocks, he's reminding me of a mixture of like something out of Temple of Doom and the Predator.
I can see that.
Yikes. I'm not going to go to sleep for a week now. Thanks.
Now, looking at Starman, I mean, I'm guessing that that's a new head sculpt, but they're making some pretty good use out of that Ghost Rider and AIM Soldier body.
Yeah, what I love about this line is people like you specifically, Justin, can really see the parts. To me, I'm looking at this and it just looks good. And I didn't even realize that that was Ghost Rider. I might have recognized AIM, but I'm like, oh, that's Ghost Rider? Because Ghost Rider is one of my favorite figures, and I did not realize the part reuse there.
Yep. Actually, now that I look at it, it might be a slightly different upper body. Same style, though.
But, Justin, you want to call out some repaints. Well, I think the ultimate repaints at New York Comic Con. Hasbro has announced that they are having an exclusive figure at New York Comic Con. So now everybody who's not going to New York Comic Con is kicking themselves because they're going to want this figure. It is a repainted Hulk, half red, half green, based off the Ed McGuinness art from Hulk number 30.
Yeah, Compound Hulk.
Just in time for Christmas.
He does look like a Christmas Hulk. There's a really cool image that's been out since this issue came out, or maybe even before this issue came out, with the Compound Hulk that I've been using as a wallpaper on my computer at work for, it's been there for about a year now already. And as I was looking at this figure, I barely ever look at my desktop. I'm always in applications with windows open. And this, when I saw this today, I was like, wait a second. And I clicked down and I saw my desktop. I'm like, that's right. I love this guy. So I'm pretty excited to be seeing this figure. And from what I can tell, like you said, repaint, it looks like they took Red Hulk and painted him half green. It's the same head sculpt as the Red Hulk, which is unique to that figure itself. And then we get, you know, half purple pants, half blue pants, and it's split right down the middle, half green, half red.
Those pants actually look more black than blue to me, but yeah.
Dark blue, black.
Navy! Here's the thing, is I'm torn on this figure. You could say I come down the middle on it.
But we won't.
Part of me says green for go and buy it because it really cool art from the cover. But part of me says red for stop because, you know, it's not really a character.
It's the perfect exclusive, though. You know, it doesn't have to exist as a real character or a real figure. It just looks really cool as an exclusive.
Yeah, that's exactly where I stand on it. And I'm going to be getting one for me. I don't need any more than that unless I decide I do want him as a Christmas decoration.
Yeah, Margie might think differently. You might have a wreath of these by the time Christmas rolls around.
What I want to know is, what is that on the little, like, where the shield emblem is? It looks like some kind of weird green goblin type thing.
Yeah, it's like Mixlpix or something. I don't know what the heck that is. That'd be more for our comic book friends. I bet you they would know.
Well, I'm going to reach out to our listeners and let me know, who the hell is that?
That must be like some what if narrator or something.
It's not a Watcher, no. I mean, I know the Watchers, but I do not know what that is. I've got to admit, I didn't keep up with the recent Hulk run. I did pick up the last issue, but I didn't keep up with Incredible Hulks or Incredible Herc, and so I'm a little bit behind on that one. So yeah, somebody can let me know.
And for those of you who are into Minimates, New York Comic Con is going to have some exclusive Minimates sets available. And they actually, for a guy like me who's kind of on the fence with the Minimates, and I dig them here and there, I'm telling you, this one may get me. This one may get me. They have a Deadpool core box set, which comes with four different Deadpools and a couple of different interchangeable parts and heads and all that stuff. And it looks like kind of the history of Deadpool. You know, you get the old school one right up to the more modern version of him, which, I don't know. What do you think, Arnie?
I think this is a pass for me on that one. I mean, it's Lady Deadpool, Deadpool, Headpool. You know, it's kind of like Deadpool family, right?
Yeah.
And Kidpool. I can see myself skipping this because I like Deadpool quite a bit, but I'm not a Deadpool fanatic. I think that the main Deadpool one's kind of okay, but honestly, Minimates are something I want to like a lot more than I like. Like, with the X-Men First Class ones, I wanted to buy the whole set because we didn't get any X-Men First Class movie figures, and I wanted the Azazel, Beast, Emma Frost, and then I saw them, and they just didn't do anything for me. And every once in a while, there's a Minimate that really grabs my eye, but these Deadpools aren't it.
Yeah, I think you talked me out of liking these. You know, I think I had to break through the fog of being a Deadpool guy and look at these for what they are. And you're right. I'm not going to pay $20 for the one Deadpool in there that I actually might want. You know, the others are easy passes. You know, if those are individual figures somewhere, I would never pick them up.
Now, Jerry, Dan asked me to get these for him at the con, so I am picking them up for him, but I'm not going to get them for myself. What I am going to get for myself, though, is the Spider-Man Firefighter 2-pack.
That's pretty cool looking.
That one, first of all, there's only two of them, so it's $9. And even though, I mean, they're already doing just Firefighter Minimates. You know, I've seen them at Toys R Us, so this didn't take them much to do. But being the 10th anniversary of 9/11 and Marvel's been doing at the back of their comics kind of a tribute to 9/11 and specifically the firefighters, even though there's nothing in the press release, this gives me a 9/11 vibe. And so I kind of feel like, yeah, I want to pick it up for that reason. I'm going to New York and getting a New York firefighter and Spider-Man, and Marvel did all of that where, you know, the heroes tried to prop up the towers and all. It has a patriotic vibe that I'm jonesing on.
It does. And it, like you said, without it being even mentioned, it's just the subject matter just kind of oozes patriotism there. And I think it's kind of cool for that reason. I really do.
Yeah, so I'm definitely getting that, but I'm passing on Deadpool, though I am picking it up for Dan.
So Sideshow has sent out some teaser images of the next thing coming from Hot Toys to get into our wallets and make us all that much more poor. They have announced Iron Man Hall of Armor displays.
Now, I loved this when I think about it because I mentioned this on Facebook. Since Marjorie first bought me Mech Test Tony Stark for Christmas to now, October 1st, I have a complete set of Marvel Hot Toys as wow. far as the 12-inch figures go. That didn't do my wallet a lot of good.
No.
Especially that Iron Man Mark I.
You know, that's been kind of, since they used Iron Man Mark I as the sample in these photos, that's opened up a lot of discussion on, are they re-releasing that? Or are they just releasing the displays by themselves? And if so, how much are the displays? I mean, this whole thing is cool up until we find out how much they are. Because you can't have just one.
Yeah.
You need at least three, right?
Yeah, and you know, when they talked about the counterfeit Wolverine figures, they specifically stated in their release, we have to keep the counterfeits under wraps in case we decide to re-release the figure. And that should drive home. These are not limited collectibles. These are not numbered. They're not limited to 2,000 pieces. Hot Toys makes however many Hot Toys wants to make. And anytime they want to, they can go back and make more, like they're making more Mark IV Iron Man to go with the giant gantry.
Yep. And, you know, they're a company like anybody else. And, you know, when they put out the Mark I, there might not have been as big of a collector base out there at the time. And they sold through those pretty easy. And now they see what they're going for on eBay and the secondary market. It just makes sense for them to look at putting that figure back out instead of spending money on new tooling when they know there's demand for something like that.
Well, I honestly thought we'd get a Mark I Armor Unleashed version because from what I can tell, between even the Mark III and the Mark IV, the size has increased on these, the detail has increased. Their early offerings are nice because they're unique, but they don't really hold a candle to what they've been putting out the past year or two. And so, given that they're re-releasing a new Mark II, an improved Mark II, I kind of wonder if they might be doing an improved Mark I. And that may even be what we're seeing pictures of. I don't know well enough. I still haven't gotten my Mark I in the mail yet. I've just paid for it. So,
yeah, it's very possible, you know. And I would love to think that they would use a more colorful Iron Man that's a little easier to come by or more recent to use in these teaser images rather than just saying, you know, hey, look at this display base and nanny boo boo, you'll never have this one. You know, I think there's something more to it than just happen to pick that figure to show with it.
Yeah. Now, you talked about needing three. I would think four, because what I would at least want to recreate is the Hall of Armor they set up at San Diego Comic-Con a couple years back for Iron Man 2. And that was the Mark 1, the Mark 2, the Mark 3, and the Mark 4.
Sure. I mean, from an accuracy standpoint, yeah, four. But like I could make myself live with three of them. You know, I could get, you know, Mark 1 if they remake it, Mark 2, and then, you know, Mark 3 through 6, you know, pick one of them just so you have the original, the prototype, and then one of the colored versions, I think would work good for me.
Yeah. And I'm thinking on this, you know, I'm wondering, I'd be happy. It looks like it's got some light up features. Some of the Hot Toys, you know, you think about them and you think, oh, they're so expensive because Ghost Rider was 300 and some, but he came with a cycle. And the Iron Man, you know, sometimes go over 200, but they've got a ton of accessories, and the gantry was 550. But when you look at things like the Spider-Man and the Green Goblin, they're only at about 150, which is a reason why I've been able to pick up a lot of these justifiably. So I'm like, If this is 150, this would be really a good price. But then I realized I need four of them and possibly eight of them. You know? And then I'm like, wait, that's not so good anymore.
And they have to know that people are looking at buying multiples, you know? So I would hope that they're trying to keep this at 100 or less. But the price of that gantry really, really shook me for what they think, you know, accessories and pieces like that are worth.
True, but the gantry has a lot of moving pieces, a lot of parts. This is a box, you know?
It is.
It's a coffin for your figure. And honestly, it's something that these figures should have come with originally, because these one downfall on all the Hot Toys is you put them on a doll stand. I'm just looking at my Hot Toys Wolverine right now, and he's got a good two prongs up his crotch.
Which is standard.
It's standard for dolls, but I don't know. I just, admittedly, he stands pretty well without it, but he could fall over if there was some, you know, even a semi truck driving by out front. So
Two prongs in the crotch is worth, you know, the risk of having a fallen over hot toy. I'll say that.
But yeah, I would love to get some of these, but I just got to wait and see the price. And especially if it comes with a Mark One, I really hope it doesn't come with a re-released Mark One after what I just paid.
Yeah, you might need to keep an eye on, you know, the message boards. And as soon as you find out if that is happening, get that guy on eBay or send him to me, you know. Christmas is coming.
Well, I definitely would need to sell him because I did just put in an order for a brand new Hot Toys that is a pretty pricey one, Ironmonger.
Drool.
There was no hesitation from me on this. The moment it went up, there was not, will I order it? There was not calling Marjorie saying, Marjorie, can I order it? It was ordered.
And that's the right call, you know? I had to slow down a little bit because I need to make some space for that guy. And so I'm kind of trying to talk myself out of it, but I don't think that's a battle I'm going to win. I think an Ironmonger order is coming pretty soon from me.
The Jeff Daniels head sculpt. I mean, you saw this at Comic-Con. You know how good it is, Justin. I don't have to sell you, but the listeners, the detail on this, the one ding on it, the one thing that's going to stickle somebody is it's $480 and it's not really to scale.
Slightly short?
Very short. I mean, if you watch the movie, Iron Man like came up to his waist, right? I mean, he was huge in the movie. Here, he's a few inches taller than your Iron Man, but he's not double the Iron Man, but he's double the Iron Man cost. But you get this huge piece.
That's just gorgeous. I mean, if this is the new standard for sculpting and details and Hot Toys, then yeah, it's going to be worth every penny.
And he lights up all over the place. He's got light up repulsors in the hands. He's got light up eyes. He's got a light up arc reactor. He's got a machine gun right arm with an LED. He's got rocket launchers on the left arm with an LED. I mean, just this thing is all over the place with lighting and articulation. 60 points of articulation. It stands 17 and a half inches versus Iron Man at 12. So I guess maybe 5 inches taller. Maybe it is closer to scale than the display at Sideshow's booth made it appear. I thought he looked just a little on the tiny side, but...
Well, if I remember correctly, he was standing on the floor level and they had some of the Iron Man up on like these slabs of rock around him. Mm-hmm. And things look different in those display cases than when you get him home and put him on a shelf. You're going to have a hard time finding the place to put him. You know, that's going to be a big hulking piece to try to find a home for.
Yeah, so I didn't hesitate. I picked him up. I knew I wanted him and I was worried he might be Batmobile expensive. For those who don't follow Hot Toys, they put out a Batmobile at about $1,000.
Yeah, which came with a ride with Adam West in the real Batmobile at that price.
It should.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when Amazon sold the Star Wars DVDs in 2004, Harrison Ford hand-delivered a few of them.
That's right.
That's how it should be with the Hot Toys Batmobile. Jeff Bridges should come to my house, give me Ironmonger, and then take me to the grid.
That's right.
For some light cycle fun.
In the character of your choice. He could come pick you up as the dude and then take you to Tron.
Yeah, I couldn't resist because I don't think that he's going to sell out other than the exclusives. And I have to clarify, I did not get the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive prototype armor Mark II. That one I couldn't justify.
No, that one is way up there. Yeah, especially for a figure that's basically been re-put out there, you know?
I held off on him, but I got all the regular release ones. And these don't really sell out that quickly. Some do eventually sell out, but I wasn't worried about it selling out, but I did want to get my order in and just get it done. And I went through Sideshow because, again, they have the best as far as the post-sale service and everything. And I did not want to risk missing out.
Yep. And at this price, you're not going to see too much fluctuation. You know, if you find another dealer somewhere, they may have it for $20 cheaper or something like that. But is, you know, once you're spending almost $500, is $20 or $30 that much of a savings that you don't want the backing of Sideshow? I don't think so.
The other thing that happened was I saw the gantry on eBay for about $320 with the figure. And that was a $200 less than Sideshow. And I was talking to Marjorie, and I'm like, you know, should, even though I put a non-refundable deposit down, should I be looking at maybe canceling my order and picking this up on eBay and saving quite a bit of money? And she reminded me of the hell I went through when I thought that the Wolverine we got might be a fake.
Exactly. It's, you know, they're not gouging for price over there. They're the importer on these toys, so why mess around? It's in stock. That's where you go to get it.
Mm-hmm. I just can't wait for it. I got to watch out. I got a lot of hot toys on pre-order now. I'm kind of getting a little sick to my stomach thinking about it.
Oh, no. So maybe we should talk about some other high-end items that you might not buy.
Yeah.
Or be as tempted to buy. Even though they look cool, maybe they just don't necessarily fit in.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just went all in on the hot toys. But I do have, you know, some Bowen items. I have the wonderful MODOK. They announced that there are some website exclusives that they're doing, and they are being made to order. And the orders have a deadline at the end of October, and however many are ordered, they make, and that is it.
Hmm. So are these going to be existing sculpts that they're doing exclusive paint jobs on? Is that the deal, or?
It looks like that, because first you have a faux bronze Thanos statue, and that Thanos has been released before. He was holding up his Infinity Gauntlet. It looks like they may have added a new accessory in his hand from what I can tell here, but it is primarily the same sculpt as before. And now it's just okay. In a faux bronze. And he's going to run you $325 if you're in their collector's club, $260.
That's not too terribly bad for, you know, 15 and a half inch size statue.
And you can get it autographed by the sculptors for an extra $20.
Well, in the same vein, they have a first appearance Wolverine statue as part of this website exclusive that they've got going on. And that one has a little bit earlier deadline. It's October 21st to get it in.
And you see, this one, again, looks like a modification of their classic Wolverine, which was going up. Just, it looks, you know, like a different head sculpt going on, but the rest of it, and a different paint job, but the rest of it is pretty identical.
Yeah, almost like the Hasbro approach to a new Wolverine. You know, we can use that body again. Let's just pop a new head on there.
Exactly. And yeah, he's only $235 or $188 if you're in the Collector's Club. And finally, the third one is X-Factor Cyclops.
This outfit right here is why, generally speaking, I'm not a fan of Cyclops. You know, he kind of looks like a Speed Racer character here.
Yeah, he kind of does. I can't argue with you there. I have not seen the sculpt being used before. Admittedly, I haven't followed Bowen for as long as I have some of the other manufacturers, but the Bowen Cyclopses I've seen don't have his arms extended like that and things. So he looks to be pretty new to me, and he's $200 or $160 in the Collector's Club.
There's a couple different versions of the Cyclops with that base out there in different outfits. And yeah, maybe they resculpted the arms into a different position, because the one I remember seeing was the more yellow and blue outfit, and he had his fingers up to his mask like he's getting ready to shoot his ray.
You're right. You know, I'm looking at that picture on Sideshow. I think it is the same, and they have changed the arms out is what they've done. They've actually rotated like one of the arms down and made the other one go out. So it's again a resculpt, but it looks like the same body and head and base.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, if you are a Cyclops fan and you have one or the other two, that, you know, this would make a nice bookend for that type of collection.
I actually much prefer the other one. You say you're not a Cyclops fan. I really like the original outfit, the darker outfit. This one, you know, as far as X-Factor costumes go, I really not a fan of this outfit.
Yeah, it's a little plain, you know, a little too stark.
Well, a new Marvel video game came out this week, so why don't we go into the
Marvelicious Arcade.
I was actually pretty excited when Marjorie told me she had traveled this week. You know, normally I don't like being alone, just me and the dogs, but I just happened at the back of my mind, got a tickle, that there was a video game coming out this week. And when the wife's out of town, my video game timing goes up exponentially.
Exponentially.
You don't have to do any of those normally pesky tasks that, you know, the wife makes you do, like come to bed and go to sleep and get up and go to work and
exactly,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the exponentially, it just sounds like a X-Men title from the Age of Apocalypse run in the late 90s, mid-90s. So.
Oh, I thought you were saying X, like if Marjorie hears this, she'll be the X.
Oh, no. Well, maybe that too. Like more like, you know, it's like the uncanny exponentials or something.
Well, I couldn't remember because I knew I had pre-ordered at Amazon both Spider-Man Edge of Time, which looks really cool because I loved Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. It's kind of a follow-up with Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2099 working together. And then there's X-Men Destiny. And so I checked and it was X-Men Destiny and I was really psyched for this. The last X-Men games, you know, the X-Men Legends games had been so good. This got a lot of hype at Comic-Con. There wasn't an X-Men First Class tie-in game because First Class was made too quickly. This was the closest I was going to get. So I've torn into that game, and I got it the day we're recording, and I've played it. I gotta say, I went from, yeah, wife's out of town, I get to game, to, all right, what am I doing next?
Oh, no.
It's a third-person action game that puts you in the X-Men universe, but not quite in the shoes of an X-Men. The story of the game is that you're in a special Marvel universe in which Magneto and Professor X teamed up to fight against Bastion and killed Bastion, but Professor X was also killed in the process. In the time since then, the Earth's been plagued by an economic meltdown, natural disasters, and human-mutant relations are really tense, but Cyclops has been working with the Mutant Response Division, headed by Louis Reyes, to try to bring humans and mutants together peacefully. Of course, the Brotherhood of Mutants is there to protect their own kind. And during a unity rally in San Francisco, an attack comes seemingly done by Magneto and Pyro, attempting to keep human-mutant relations unstable. As the player of X-Men Destiny, you pick between one of three characters that have never been seen before, and go through a number of missions where you're actually not battling mutants by and large, but battling the Purifiers, a group of anti-mutant militants that are actually from the comic. Claremont wrote them up in God Love, Man Kills and been seen since, because after the chaos of the attack, the Purifiers are out to kill all mutants. So your three characters you get to choose from are Grant Alexander, who's a college student, football jock type, Adrian Luca, who's an angsty ROTC type, who's the son of a Purifier that was killed in battle, and Adrian himself is a mutant hater, or your lone non-white, non-male character, Aimee Yoshida, a Japanese girl who is actually an illegal alien, quite literally just off of a boat, because in her opening scene, you see her father smuggling her onto a boat to get to the U.S. And when she arrives in the States in San Francisco, she just so happens to walk into this rally. You pick your character, and whoever you pick, during the rally, they come in danger of a flying cop car and discover their mutant powers. And then, after you pick your character, you get to pick your power, and you can choose between density control, which is making you strong and somewhat indestructible. It's a good brawling type. Energy projection, which allows you to shoot at enemies and have various explosive powers. Or shadow matter, which allows you to, and this is a quote from the game, control the immediate unseen dark matter around the body and manifest it into solid shape. I mean, this allows some limited teleportation. You can turn into a powerful tornado of energy, and you can transform yourself into a flying demon and swoop down on your enemies. No matter which character you pick, the gameplay's the same, so really, by picking your powers, you're picking your type of game. The character you play has some impact on the cutscenes and whatnot, but it doesn't change the game at all. And what this is an on-rails game where you run through the levels and you fight against Purifiers. I chose the angsty guy, and I kind of think I might have gotten the best one because his dead father keeps coming to his head because he realizes at the rally he's a mutant. His father's like, "You're no son of mine," in his head. He's having this whole like psycho thing going on. characters. Now, one of the big things in the advertising for this game is not only do you get to pick your character, but you get to pick your destiny. And this means you get to choose as you go on, talking to mutants both on the side of the X-Men and the side of the Brotherhood, and decide, are you going to be an X-Man, or are you going to be part of the Brotherhood? And you get some evil mutants from the Brotherhood telling you, come with us, humans need to get put down. And you get to make bad choices, and it goes like Brotherhood points awarded. And then you've got the X-Men trying to get you to go to the light side and take the righteous path, and you get X-Men points awarded. And I tried to go down the middle with it, you know, some dark side, some light side. And I expected at some point my decisions would have made a choice. But no, at the very end, it's just Magneto and Cyclops, and they're like, so which one are you with us are you coming with? So my choices didn't really make any difference, and it doesn't matter who I go with, because it's not like if you choose the X-Men, you're fighting the Brotherhood, or if you choose the Brotherhood, you're fighting the X-Men. You basically fight the same people, both of whom think you're on the wrong side for the beginning, and your primary enemy are these purifiers.
See, I would have considered a little bit of redemption there if your final battles were against the team that you went against. Like if the game ended and you're squared off against Cyclops or something, that might have been more fulfilling, but wow, that's just bad.
You might be thinking something like The Force Unleashed here, because in The Force Unleashed, or even going back further, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, your actions and your choices made you choose the light side or the dark side, and that would have an impact on the end of the game. And it would even have an impact on some of the battles you fought. Here, the side you choose really doesn't matter, and you can make any choices you want throughout the game. At the very end, it's basically choose your side, X-Men or Brotherhood, and then you're gonna fight the same battles no matter. It's not like if you choose the X-Men, you fight the Brotherhood, or if you choose the Brotherhood, you fight the X-Men. That's a flaw of this game, because your enemies in this game are the Purifiers. The Purifiers are attacking all mutants after the rallies. They're bringing in much more sophisticated technology to attack you. And while once in a while you do have a plot point that has you fighting Gambit or fighting Wolverine, by and large, you're just attacking Nameless Purifier after Nameless Purifier. And that's really a problem for this game, because despite X-Men being in the title, this game really doesn't have much of an X-Men feel. You're playing this brand new mutant who's never even discovered their powers before, and then you're attacked by purifiers, and you're fighting alongside Iceman against them, and you're fighting the same groups of people, but whatever character you pick is taking out 30 of them, whereas Iceman, it keeps pounding on one or two and never really takes any down, even though you just realized in game time about an hour ago you're a mutant, which makes Iceman look like a real douche. For the most part, you are so much more powerful than the X-Men, and the X-Men come to you and go, we need your help to stop this major threat to all of mankind, especially mutants. And it makes the X-Men look less heroic, and it's so implausible that this whole team of heroes, A, can't take down any purifiers, they need you to do it, and B, would immediately trust you, somebody they've never talked to before, with vital plans. It's the most ridiculous type of video game plot. I would go with that if the game was fun, but this is the worst kind of button mashing. I literally walked out of the room while holding my Xbox controller and just pushed buttons. Could not see the screen. Walked back in, I defeated 30 enemies and taken very little damage. This game is incredibly easy. Even on the medium level, which is where I usually try to play my games, I actually bumped it up to hard because I beat this game beginning to end with all side quests in under 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, going back, trying to extend the gameplay, I decided to try it on hard. All it does is make you take more damage, which, yes, is harder because you have to get hit less, but that doesn't make it more fun. And this game's just such a grindhouse of punching people, kicking people, throwing energy at people, depending on your powers, that I just never got into it. Despite being so powerful that the X-Men have to ask you for help, you're also robbed of so many victories. Like, there are at least two, maybe three occasions in the game where you're told, you can't possibly defeat this enemy, but you have to go into battle against them anyway, and they have a health meter, and you have to take that health meter down to zero. But because they said you can't possibly defeat them, after you defeat them, you get a cutscene of somebody else coming in and delivering the final blow, because your character can't be strong enough to do it. But yet, the entire game is riding on your character. So it robs the X-Men of their coolness, and it also makes you feel like everything you're doing is incredibly futile. You pick up new outfits along the way. If this guy wasn't a wannabe enough. He can dress in clothes that make him look like a wannabe Wolverine or a wannabe Colossus. I mean, these outfits he chooses are all other people's costumes.
Well, you know, it is Halloween. He can put on his favorite Colossus costume as he goes and does battle or...
The game has all kinds of bugs. First of all, during scenes with a lot of enemies, it would get choppy frame rates and really slow down. And I can't believe that that would happen because the graphics in this are so poor. I'm reminded of first year Xbox 360 graphics on this. These are not graphics that I'm used to seeing on my Xbox 360. They are just poor. And perhaps it's because they also have a GameCube port. Maybe they're just using the exact same graphics here because, yeah, these look GameCube graphics to me. But why the Xbox 360 processor can't handle it, I don't know. In addition to just bad graphics on the regular mode, there are some climbing missions that are hysterical. They're just completely two-dimensional. It gives you a flat view of a wall and you have to jump straight up or move straight horizontally. It's like Atari 2600 level of movement, and I swear to God, I think it might have been inspired by the Atari 2600 Spider-Man game. There's one level where you are climbing a building while dodging things a sentinel is throwing down at you. I could only think of the Spider-Man Green Goblin game during that level. In addition, the AI of the enemies is really terrible. Most of the time I would win by just getting behind an enemy and punching them in the back for a while, and eventually they turn around and I'd run behind them again and hit them in the back some more. The only thing I can give this game is good voice acting, because most of it's pretty good, but I gotta really ding Jamie Chung, who voices the Asian girl, because I honestly didn't realize it was an Asian actress doing this voice. Again, you start off by seeing this character leaving her home in Japan, being smuggled into the United States, yet she talks the entire game like a valley girl. I don't think an American real world actress is who you should have in that role. It completely robbed her character of having any kind of arc that might have come with being new to the country and arriving just in time for the country to be torn apart by an anti-mutant rally.
This sounds like one of those stupid online games that Cartoon Network puts on or something, to where you're among all the characters, but you don't get to play anybody cool, but suddenly you're like amazing and like important to the whole universe. And
you nailed it on the head, Jerry. That is exactly what it's like. Is when I played Star Wars Galaxies, how all of a sudden I, this nobody, am Princess Leia's only hope. It does have the X-Men characters in it. You've got Magneto and Juggernaut.
I think it says something about the quality of an X-Men game when I'm searching Google for some screenshots and screen grabs of the game, and most of them have either Gambit, which is cool, and Quicksilver highlighted in them. If your game is Quicksilver heavy, I think you might have taken a wrong turn at some point.
You know, it's as Quicksilver heavy as anybody else in here. He shows up, Colossus shows up, Nightcrawler, Mystique. I mean, there's a lot of them in here. The thing is, you're not playing one of the X-Men. You're playing a character who exists in the X-Men's world. And you're going on these missions, and you're encountering the X-Men, and the X-Men are asking you for help. But it doesn't feel like an X-Men game. And I think that there's a lot of good ways you could do this. I'm reminded of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, the movie. And that would have been a cute way to do it, is if you were doing the work, and then Cyclops was like, well, look what I just did, because he thought he did it and didn't realize you were there behind the scenes. You could have been funny like that, or you could have gone that you had to help them out because they were in trouble. But there's so many X-Men and Brotherhood mutants running around, and of course they don't get along, even though they're fighting the same enemies, and they have casual team-ups of convenience throughout the game. But your character and his integration or her integration into the story is never well explained, never well done. I'm usually going to games for good stories. I'm never one who, when it comes to a cutscene, is like trying to hit A to get past it, unless it's a cutscene I've seen three or four times because I'm on a difficult level. But here, when I started going through and trying out some of the other characters, I desperately wanted to get these cutscenes over with. And they won't let you skip the cutscenes. You are forced to sit there and listen to this horribly written dialogue and banality about this incomprehensible story. I would really, any listener who's already bought this, I apologize. I wish we could have gotten this to you sooner to tell you not to buy it. But you tell me if you can really figure out what's going on, because I can't. I mean, I get it in that I understand who the secret bad guy is and how he's doing what he's doing, but what I don't get is all the setup to it and this whole rally and what it all has to do with everything when it all ties together at the end. It's incomprehensible, and more importantly, it's not worth my time to try to sort it out. in the end, this game has a really bad story, which could be made up for by good gameplay, but it has really dull, repetitive gameplay, which could have been made up for with a good story, but because it has neither, I'm just left in awe that I even was able to finish the game. I really wanted to turn it off after about the first 45 minutes when I realized this was not getting any better. I kept hoping maybe the next level will be fun. Maybe the next level will be fun. But it never was. The only good thing I can say about it, which would normally be a negative, is how short it is. Again, I beat this game in under 5 hours, and I attempted every single side quest offered as well. I could just feel the game was reaching the end, which is the only reason I finished it off in the same night, is I knew it was coming to a climax. I was fighting some sentinels and eventually got to the end. And that's it. For $60, I got under 5 hours of gameplay.
Arnie, you've told me nothing to make me care about this game. I haven't liked an X-Men game since the Super Nintendo's Mutant Apocalypse, which I think is an amazing game. You know, aside from some of the X-Men Street Fighter type stuff, but just a standalone X-Men title, I've not been a fan since Super Nintendo days, so I'm not surprised.
X-Men now, Wolverine was a fun game.
Really?
The Origins movie tie-in game.
Oh,
you know what? I played X-Men 1 and 2 from the tie-in games, and they were okay. They at least you were playing as X-Men and felt like you were doing important things, unlike this game. I don't have X-Men-y powers. I just have generic video game powers. I can turn into a flying demon, or I can turn into a cloud of deadly dust, or I can punch and kick and do ninja moves, and I'm just button mashing. It comes up on the screen and goes, great combo, but it doesn't look cool. You know, when I was playing Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, if I got a great combo, people were flying off the walls and I was bouncing and flipping. Here, I just can't even tell what's going on. It's telling me I'm doing well. I'm walking through these levels half asleep. But my God, if you just want to own an X-Men game, wait for this to come down to the $20 price point. This thing is not worth the money, and I just feel so ripped off.
Or you can just send Arnie a PM and he'll probably sell it to you for $25.
I'm seeing some pretty cool figure possibilities in some of these screenshots. So there's like an Ironmonger looking type of robot that looks pretty cool. It's almost a Gundam Ironmonger crossover.
What I just kept going off on is there's one robot that I had to fight repeatedly, and it's basically Ed 209 from RoboCop. It's a walking thing that has a giant machine gun, and it just two legs and a big like cockpit in the middle. And it just, all I could think of every time I blew it up was Ed 209. I don't know that I need an Ed 209 for my Marvel figures, but that was the only thing that drew me. There are some people in mech suits that have the arc reactors on the front. They're definitely Iron Man inspired designs, but none of them look that good in the game, really. But the graphics are terrible. And I mean, there's nothing there to make me like any of these characters to the point where I'm like, oh, I want that character. Although, Justin, you may already have one figure from this game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Juggernaut. Because the Juggernaut in this game, his face looks about 5 sizes too small for his helmet, just like that 6-inch Spider-Man figure.
Oh, man.
Talk about the wrong one to take inspiration from, yeah.
So yeah, I'm really bummed out. I spent $60 on this, and I'm really just wishing I hadn't. It's going to be over $10 an hour. I don't know where I feel more ripped off, the $20 Hasbro figures or the $60 X-Men game.
I think that's an easy choice. It's still $60.
But I spent $80 on 4 figures.
Well, at least the game you can go take to, you know, a game trade in place and try to get something out of it while it still has some new value to it.
Good point. But I'm still hopeful for Spider-Man Edge of Time, because Shattered Dimensions was just so much fun that I actually went back and played it through again just because I wanted to, because the gameplay was that much fun. So, whereas this game I'm never going to look at again, I'm still hoping Spider-Man pulls it out. But this is obviously, I don't feel like this was ready for prime time. It was just too buggy. I could go into detail, like, when it gives you a mission objective, you have to hit the back button, which is a button I've never used on my Xbox controller. It's like the opposite of the start button. And until you hit that, the message won't go away. but while it's up there on the screen, people are attacking you, so you can choose to defend yourself but not see them, or dismiss the message and let them punch you. Even though this was released by Activision, it's really made by a company called Silicon Knights, and, I mean, this is only, like, their 10th game, so there's not much there. They did some GameCube ports, so, yeah, just not a whole lot going on. I say skip this altogether.
Already done.
I don't think I was in any danger of having that one show up on my radar anyway. I've been playing too much Gears of War 3 lately, I think.
I'm probably the only not Gears of War gamer fan in the country.
How could you be? You spent too much time playing X-Men Destiny.
That 4 hours, yeah, that makes the difference. And just before we go, let's do one more segment.
Let's look into an alternate reality with What If They Made?
Well, you know, I don't think I need to look to X-Men Destiny for figures they've got to make. I've really been lately drawn into the Spider Island mega crossover that they're doing. I guess it's an event, although it doesn't feel like an event because nobody's dying. It's
Is that what makes it an event, is somebody's eventual death?
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Or major allegiances shift. This is just a lot of fun. So, it doesn't feel eventy to me, but it's a ton of crossovers. I've been in on all the books. I mean, seeing Cloak and Dagger come back to the fore, and all the various female spiders, Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, Madam Web, all of these characters come back. But Justin, you and I were talking back when I went to Wizard World. You were looking for a Spider-Hulk figure.
Oh, yeah. Still am.
Well, there is a figure that Hasbro's got to make, and they got to do a Legends of it to be a companion to that old Toy Biz Spider-Hulk. Because in the Hercules comic, I kid you not, they served up Spider-Herc.
Spider-Herc. Now, if Marjorie is here, this is where she would do the Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. So I'll just go ahead and put that in for her.
I actually had to hide the fact I was reading a Hercules comic from her because I knew I would get the Nutty Professor. But take a look at those pictures. If you're listening to the Enhanced Podcast, take a look at the pictures there. They gave us, in one comic book, three separate Spider-Herc outfits.
Yeah, it looks like, is that just the lighting, or from one of the panels I'm looking at, or maybe it's even a cover art, it looks orange and green.
The front one, the cover art is, I think, supposed to be red and green because Hercules is known for wearing green, and so it's the more Herculean color there to kind of tie in for the Herc readers.
Yeah.
My favorite is actually in the first couple pages where it's Spider-Man with giant brown boots. And he's wearing the spider mask kind of like a pirate.
Yeah, and a utility belt.
Uh-huh. And his fists are out and they're human fists. He's got the big ponytail. And that's my favorite. And that's when I realized I need a figure of this to go next to Spider-Hulk, is Spider-Herc. But then at the end, they had one even better. In the next issue, he has like this pimped out yellow and green outfit.
Yeah, where he's getting like attacked by a Hydra type of monster.
Well, he is Hercules.
Yeah, that looks like a figure that would have just enough interest. That could be a good exclusive somewhere, you know? Dragon Con.
I saw this and I decided that we had to bring back the they gotta make this figure. Hasbro, in the Marvel Legends line specifically, I need 6 inches of Spider-Herc.
You heard it here first, folks. Arnie needs 6 inches of Spider-Herc.
And I actually don't care which one, but I see repaint opportunities for them.
Oh, yeah. Once you get the basic sculpt down, you can give them all three of these distinct outfits, you know?
You can just either
paint his hands or not.
Mm-hmm. You could do this as the San Diego Comic-Con 3-pack next year. Get all three Hercs.
But yeah, that's a good nomination for they gotta make this, you know?
Yeah, I I just had so much fun. I have to admit, I have trouble getting into any of the comics that deal with mythological characters, Thor, Herc. It feels like I'm about to pick up a textbook instead of a comic book. And if it wasn't for Spider Island, I gotta say, I don't think I would have picked up a Hercules comic. And I went to page one and I'm like, yeah, Hercules, fight with father. All right. Yeah. Go to page two. It's Spider Herc. I'm like, what the hell? This is cool. I need a toy.
Well, maybe they'll do a whole line of spider guys. You know, maybe eventually I will get my Spider Hulk and you can get Spider Herc. We can get a 2-pack of them fighting.
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to Spider Hulk showing up in Marvel Universe, because that was a great Web of Spider-Man story back from my heavy comic collecting days. And Spider Herc could be a great companion for him in the Marvel Universe line. But because they made the 6-inch Spider Hulk, I would love to see Spider Herc in that scale. Of course, yep. That would mean Hasbro would have to make 6-inch Marvel figures.
They're coming.
They say they are.
Yeah, we'll give them till January. Then I'll start complaining.
Well, that is our show for this week. When we come back next time, Marjorie and I will be live from New York.
It's Saturday night. Oh, sorry.
Well, it might be.
Actually, sorry, yes, the Hasbro panel is Saturday night at 7:30 at night. What awesome. The hell?
There you go.
I think I'm going to be like the only one there.
It's just a Pavlovian response when you hear, you know, live from New York. Yeah, can't leave that unresolved.
Well, Jerry, thank you for joining us and being the stand-in Marjorie for this episode.
Hey, no problem. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks. I'm going to put you to work here, so be ready. All right, you ready?
Okay.
All right, true collectors, until next time.
Make mine Marvelicious.
That was all right. That was all right.
Well, it was all right. That felt pretty good.
It was part sultry.
Well, I'll practice that for next time.
There you go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving a positive review for the show on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade with the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at marvelicioustoys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds, as well as product reviews, on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Podcast enhancement by Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Announcements by Brock. The Marvelicious theme song, Bam Pow Kablam, is composed by Joe Harrison. See more of Joe's work at www.StarWarsFanWorks.com/Lion's Mouth. If you also like Star Wars, Star Wars Collecting is covered weekly at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. Marvel Comics and all of the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated, copyright 2011, all rights reserved.
Oh, wait, haven't you heard? What? Bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word.
Okay, time for some weird questions. Does Comic Pack Hulk have nipples?
Kind of.
Okay, because
yes.
This one clearly has nipples. And I did not remember Nipple Hulk before.
Whoa.
No, the original one had nipples. I'm looking at a picture of him on my iPhone, and it's nippleicious.
Okay.
Mine doesn't seem to be as nippleicious as the one in the photo, but maybe your camera's picking up some really nice detail.
On the nipples.
Yeah, on the nipples.
Well, you got good nipple zoom. Yeah.
He's got the macro nipple focus.
So like smile nipple enhancement. Yeah. Stupid me. I bought the one with the smile engagement, but or whatever. Sees a smile, it takes a picture, you know.
Hey, if mine giving me a nipple, I got a smile.
Nipple detachment. Like as soon as it sees a nip slipping.
Snap. So next time, make mine nippleicious.
Here, I thought this would be a completely clean show, and then at the end, we'd be able to say, you know, Marjorie was the dirty one.
Not even out of the gate yet.
Yeah, we haven't even started as like nipple.
Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the good one, right?
Yeah, the name I'm toying with for this week's show is $5 an inch.
It's my nickname in high school.
And then you went and saw a movie?
Twice.
Hello, welcome to Marvelicious Toy. I'm trying to do the Marjorie. She always introduces us.
I know, we're kind of lost.
Wait, does that mean I'm supposed to try to do it?
Instead of being Marjorie, I was more like a phone sex operator.
That was a little creep.
I'm gonna hang up now.
At the beep, we'll be charging your credit card $2.49 a minute. Beep. We're going to have store reports, a lot of online news, San Diego Comic-Con news, and more. So why don't we New York
Comic-Con. I was going to say, San Diego?
Damn it, that was good, too. Four of the boobs were... They felt like just orbs sitting on top of another thing. And right now, you're right.
That's the problem with a bad surgeon.
I will call him Minifist.
Not on this show, you won't. This is a family show, mister.
You know.
You just said shocker mask. All right. That's a combination between a gorilla mask and the shocker. I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up. You might have to Urban Dictionary those terms to follow along.
I feel like I'm watching that episode of South Park where they're talking about all the Canadian sex acts.
No, but yeah,
look, because mine does not seem to have that. Your Namor has a mole.
I told you.
You got a cross-eyed shocker. Is that a Canadian sex act, a cross-eyed shocker?
It may be.
But
I'm trying to pull up that one. Oh. It's getting bigger. Mind out of the gutter.
Are my pictures good enough that I can open them?
Yep.
They're out of the package. Just giving you guys an update so that you don't think I'm like...
God, he's killing it.
Remember when Scott opened up stuff on that one episode with the power tools?
Oh, yeah.
I hate how Hasbro packages these things. They got them in here. Do they have a plan for getting out?
Oh, that's not Hasbro's problem, no, is it?
You know, I've used that quote twice, and twice people don't realize I'm quoting Princess Leia from Star Wars.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I totally caught it, yeah.
It's that little green guy who used to follow Fred and Barney around in the later seasons of Flintstones.
And no, it's not Kazoo.
You both knew that right off the...
Awesome. And it was voiced by Harvey Korman. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive. Almost too much arcane knowledge for one person to have, but interesting nonetheless.